In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Since this is the night of celebrating the feast of Saint Maurice, and as we all know that Saint Maurice and Saint Verena were missionaries, I thought it would be suitable to talk to you today about the words of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." And as we said this morning in the liturgy, that the laborers are few and the harvest is a lot. But if we can all, each one of us, can become a laborer in the field of the Lord, then I am sure that we can make a big change in this world. After all, it was only 12 disciples and 72 apostles that brought Christianity throughout the whole world. 84 individuals. And gathered in this hall tonight, there are much more than 84 persons. So if each one of us takes upon himself or herself the responsibility to be salt of the earth and light of the world, I am sure that we can make a big difference. You can ask yourself, why did God bring you in this part of the world at this time in particular? Nothing happens randomly, but with God everything happens with a purpose. So you may feel that you are responsible. When the Lord said, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," He was giving us a responsibility. And after I finish my word today, we can ask ourselves, are we truly being salt of the earth and light of the world? It's very important to ask ourselves this question. By the way, in the Archdiocese, every Monday, I have a meeting with the congregation. This meeting has been going on for years, and presently we are studying the Sermon on the Mount. So you can follow this series with us on Monday at 7:30 to 9 p.m. and I can give you the website. You can watch us live in the end. But if I forget, someone remind me please in the end. So in verse 13, in chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says to the people, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Are you able to see the screen? Good. What is the salt analogy? Why did the Lord use the salt? First, we say that the salt analogy is used to show our purpose and obligation before the world as the people of God. To show our purpose and obligation. It is an obligation. It's not that the Lord was praising us, saying to us, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." It is an obligation, it's a responsibility. Before the world, as the people of God. And what does it mean, the salt of the earth? I'll give you some meanings and then we will focus on a couple of them. First of all, salt enhances the taste and flavor of food. All ladies know that. When they cook, they cannot but use the salt. The kitchen can never be without salt. We have to always add salt to the food. Salt also preserves the food from corruption. Remember when the Lord said these words, there was no refrigerators. So the only way to preserve the food was to add salt to it. Salt is not much in quantity, but makes a big difference. You add very little salt to the food, but it makes a big difference in taste. Salt is available everywhere. Salt was recognized as a necessity of life to the extent that soldiers were often paid their wages in salt. فين زمان العملة كان ممكن يستخدمه مش بس عملة لكن كان ممكن يستعملوا شعير يستعملوا قمح. They used to instead of using coins, they can use salt, they can use wheat, etc. Barley. Finally, salt makes it easier for big ships to travel in seas. You know, salty water, things can float much better in salty water. To the extent that they said in the Red Sea, it's called the Red Sea because nothing can live in it because it's so salty. But if you walk inside the water and then lean your back, then you can float. And they said that someone can read a newspaper while floating on the top, on the surface of the water, because it's very salty. Salt helps things in the water to float, and a Christian person floats above the waters of this world. So let's take the first couple of meanings and delve deeper in their meanings. Salt enhances the taste of food. This is a saying for Saint John Chrysostom. For by saying you are the salt of the earth, Jesus signifies that all human nature itself has lost its taste, having become rotten through sin. For this reason, you see, he requires from his disciples those character traits that are most necessary and useful for the benefit of all. As if he is saying, sin has made the world corrupt. But now, you are the salt of the earth. You believers are going to give this new taste to the world by your righteous life. Origen says, with regards to food, salt as preservative, salt preserves food from decaying into stench and worms. It makes them edible for a longer period. They would not last through time and be found useful without salt. So also Christ's disciples, standing in the way of the stench that comes from the sins of idolatry and fornication, support and hold together this whole earthly realm. And that would. I'll read it once more so they can follow. Salt preserves food from decaying into stench and worms. It makes them edible for a longer period. They would not last through time and be found useful without salt. So also Christ's disciples, standing in the way of stench and that comes from sin of idolatry and fornication, support and hold together this whole earthly realm. So being the salt of the earth, it means that we resist the temptations in the world, we live a righteous and pure life, thereby holding this life. I remember what was said about St. Paul the First, an anchorite, who lived away from the world, praying. And the angel said to St. Anthony, because of his prayers, God sends the rain in its time. They said, because of his righteous life, God is having mercy on this world. So because of Christ's disciples, those who are truly with him with their hearts, God has mercy on this world. St. John Chrysostom adds another meaning. He says that Christ, giving us the new nature, which is the salty nature, was the work of Christ himself, but preserving that nature is the work of every person. So he says, what things have been restored and committed to their charge and freed from that ill savor, these they then salted, maintaining and preserving them in freshness which they have received from the Lord, for that men should be set free from the rottenness of their sins was the good work of Christ, but their not returning to it again anymore was the object of these men's diligence and travail. I'm going a little bit fast, because if you can imagine that I did those two, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, in two different days, each day was about 1 hour, and you don't want to be listening for 2 hours, so I'm trying to go very fast over that in maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes max. St. John Chrysostom also says that we are not responsible for only a group of people, not only for one city or one place, but for the whole world. You are the salt of the earth. What you are doing in St. Maurice and St. Verena is we are reaching out to the whole world, not to a specific ethnic community, but to the whole world. And this is what the Lord has basically said. You are the salt of the earth, the whole earth. You are the light of the world, the whole world. So St. John Chrysostom says, why must you be salt? Jesus says, in effect, you are accountable not only for your own life, but also for the entire world. I am sending you not to one or two cities, nor to 10 or 20, nor even to one nation, as I send the prophets. Rather, I am sending you to the entire earth, across the seas, to the whole world, to a world fallen into an evil state. So this is the responsibility of every Christian person, to be salt to the whole earth. We can be salt through our good conduct, through our good life. We can be salt through our good example. We do not need to have special talents or gifts to be salt of the earth. Someone may say, I am not a preacher, I cannot preach to others. To live a good Christian example, to follow the commandments of the Lord, is sufficient to be salt of the earth and light of the world. And as the salt gives taste, Christ in us gives taste to this life. And then the Lord adds, if the salt loses its flavor, how it can be seasoned? Salt by nature does not lose its saltiness. But the only way for the salt to be useless is if another component is added to it, then it cannot be used. So if you have salt, but poison falls on it, then it becomes poisonous, so you cannot use the salt. But salt by itself cannot lose its flavor. So the salt used in Palestine, that the Lord was referring to, was not a pure salt. Other components were added to it. That's why it can be spoiled, which means that's not suitable for human consumption. And a Christian person can be pure salt as long as nothing strange is added to his or her nature. And our Lord has given us this new nature. Through baptism, we receive the new nature, and through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we preserve this new nature. But how can our saltiness be lost? Is if another component added to our nature. If darkness is added to the light of Christ, because there is no fellowship between light and darkness. So we need to keep the light of Christ inside our hearts, not to let the world or the world's love enter inside our hearts, and we will maintain our saltiness. So Saint Augustine says, hence the savorless salt is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot by men. It is not then he who suffers persecution, but he who is rendered savorless by the fear of persecution that is trodden underfoot by men. As if he's saying, you lose your saltiness, not if you are persecuted as a Christian, because remember that in the beginning of Christianity, anyone who becomes Christian was persecuted by the non-Christians. And that's why we have so many martyrs. And the Lord has said, unless you have love for me more than you love your parents, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your wife, your children, and you have to even to hate yourself, then you cannot be my disciple. So the love of the Lord has to exceed any other love in this world. So Saint Augustine is saying that when your love exceeds, your love to me exceeds all other love, you may suffer persecution, but your saltiness will remain with you. You will still be the salt of the earth. How? Because many others who see you with your firm faith, facing all the persecutions, they will become Christians and they will want to believe in your God. So you will remain salt of the earth. You will not lose your flavor. But we lose our flavor when we give up our faith. People of this sort, made tasteless by the treachery of the devil and having lost the grace of faith, are good for nothing. Though once have seasoned non-believers still foreign to the faith, Judas Iscariot deteriorated into this sort of useless soul after he had rejected divine wisdom, having changed from an apostle into an apostate. He not only did not help others, he became wretched and useless even to himself. Referring to Judas Iscariot, who lost his faith and thereby lost his saltiness. I think I'll skip a little bit and go into you are the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Is it the Lord Jesus who said, I am the light of the world? Or is it us? Because he said, you are the light of the world. We have to remember that with respect to us being the light of the world, we receive our light from Christ. That's number one. Number two, we reflect his life. Number three, his light is unlimited. He is the source of light and his light is unlimited. We can only be light in this world if we have Christ in our lives. It's like the sun and the moon. The sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N. The moon cannot give its light without the sun. The sunlight has to fall on the moon in order for it to give any light. And in fact, the shape of the moon is determined by how much light reaches it. Depends on its position with respect to the sun and the earth. Therefore, we cannot shine without the sun. Similarly, we cannot be the light of the world without Christ. If the earth is removed from between the sun and the moon, we can have a full moon. Similarly, if the earth does not have space in your heart and place in your heart and in your life, then the full light of Christ will shine upon your heart and you will be a full moon. تبقى أمر 14 يعني. مفهوم المون ده هو كده. But if the earth is partially in between us and Christ, then we will not shine as much. We want to remove the earth from between us so that we can give full light. And then when he shines in our life, then his light will reflect from us. And this happened literally with Moses the prophet, as you may read in Exodus chapter 33 and 34. He went and spent 40 days with the Lord, and after that he came down, and the people could not look at his face directly because his face shone. And he had to put a veil in front of his face because they could not look at his face. It was shining. If you spend time with the Lord, your face will shine. And I'm saying literally, your face will shine. Let me tell you a very quick story. How our face will shine if we spend time with the Lord. Or the opposite. Someone who had a very strong relationship with the Lord Jesus was selected by a painter who was drawing the Last Supper. He said to him, I am trying to select a nice looking face, a peaceful face, a shining face to draw the face of the Lord Jesus from. And then as that painter got too busy painting other paintings, by the time he was going to draw the face of Judas Iscariot, he wanted to select the face of an evil person. So he selected another person and he said to him, I want to sketch your face because I'm trying to do a painting for the Last Supper. And he said to him, which face do you want to paint? He said to him, honestly, I want to paint the face of Judas Iscariot. That man began to cry and weep. So he said to him, why are you crying? He said to him, because a few years ago, you selected me personally to draw the face of Christ. But now I have been away from God for so long, and that's why my face has deteriorated, and now I look like an evil person, and you want to draw the face of Judas Iscariot. So you see, when we spend time with the Lord, our face shines, and the light of Christ could be seen in our features. Someone came to St. Anthony and said to, and never asked any words. But others asked questions. And when St. Anthony noticed, he said to him, how come? How come you never ask any questions? He said to him, it is sufficient to look at your face. It's enough for me to just look at your face. I can learn a lot from looking at your face. I don't even need to ask any questions. When you spend time with the Lord in your prayer and contemplation, your face will shine. You will have peaceful features. And people will look at you and feel that something has changed. You are a peaceful person. You are not like before. Before you were a nervous person. Someone may look at you, will feel that you have an evil eye looking at them in a certain way, but now they look at you like a dove. As the Lord has described the bride in the Song of Songs, who says to her, your eyes are like two doves. عيناكي حمامتان. حمامتان يعني ايه؟ فيهم الوداع، فيهم السلام، فيهم المحبة. Notice how Moses only reflected the light of God. But Christ in the transfiguration reflected his own light. He shone from within, not from without. His light is unlimited, as God has created the two great lights, the greater light to rule by day and the lesser light to rule by night. He is the greater light, we are the lesser light, and we receive our light from Him, as we said. Let's do some sayings of the fathers. You are the light of the world, not of a single nation nor of 20 cities, but of the entire inhabited earth. St. John Chrysostom says again, you are like light for the mind, far better than any particular sunbeam. Similarly, you are spiritual salt, then you are light. The metaphors of salt and light drive home the great benefit of these stinging words, and the profit of this rigorous discipline, how it binds and does not permit us to become desolate in our behavior. We can shine only if we realize that we are not of this world. Number two, if we spend time with the Lord in prayer and contemplation as Moses did. Number three, if we keep His commandments, which are light to our way. As He said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Also, if we walk in the light, doing His commandments. Number five, we have fellowship. If we have no fellowship with darkness, to always walk in the light and we have no fellowship with darkness. Number six, we resist like the resisting wire in a bulb. Do you know how the bulb gives off the light? This is very interesting. The filament is a resisting wire. So the electricity goes through the wire, and then when it reaches the resisting wire, which is that filament, then this resistance creates heat. When the heat builds up, it gives off the energy in the form of heat and light. And this is the light that we see. So again, how can we be the light of the world if we resist, if we are like the resisting wire? And if the heat builds up, which means that persecution because of our resistance, so you will be resisted. As a Christian, you can be resisted. You can be mocked by other people. Are you crazy? What are you doing? You still believe in a God? You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. Resist. Be mocked. You are in the right path. If you are not resistant and if you are not mocked by the world, you are not going in the right direction. It is our sign that we are going in the right path. If we are persecuted, blessed are you if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So whenever you are persecuted, say, thank you God, I know I'm going in the right path. But if your life is going easily, then I doubt. And then, I don't want to take much longer because we still have a couple of more slides. The idea is that he said, the Lord has said, we should not take the lamp and put it under a basket. You cannot do that. You are the light of the world. No one takes a lamp and put it under a basket. You cannot hide a city on a hill. The lamp is the individual person. Every person in the church is a lamp, is a light. You are the light. Notice that the Lord Jesus was speaking to the people on the Sermon on the Mount. He was not speaking to the disciples only, to all the people. You are the light of the world. And the city here represents the church, which is a city that cannot be hidden because it's on a hill. The church will never cease to witness to the truth because it is a city built on a hill that gives off light. Everyone can see the church witnessing to the truth. Therefore, we will never change our teaching. You know, now we see some churches changing the faith to accommodate more people. Do you understand what I mean? Oh, we have to be politically correct. This is the word I was looking for. You know, politically correct? We cannot offend anybody. How can you not offend anybody unless you have to witness to the truth? If you meet someone who is not, who does not believe in what the Lord has said, or not does not believe in what the Bible says, are we going to be politically correct and not witness to the truth? And be afraid of any persecution. I remember His Holiness Pope Shenouda once told us a story. He was in England and he spoke about homosexuality. Of course, against homosexuality. And when he came out, people said to him, "You are a brave man." He said, "Why? Why do you say I am a brave man? I only said what the Bible teaches us." He said, they said to him, "No, no one can say such things. They will kill him if you say things against homosexuality." Why? We can read Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We can read the teachings of the Lord about in the beginning He created them male and female. We are teaching what the Bible teaches. The church is the city which cannot be hidden. But if the church ceases to witness to the truth, then it's no longer a minaret. It's no longer a lighthouse. ينفعش. The church has to always be the light in this world, and every person in the church has to be light in this world. But not to go to people, you are a sinner. We don't do that. We witness to the truth, but with love. We don't go judging people. We judge actions. We judge a way of life. We say this is not pleasing in the sight of God. Because we live in a world that teaches postmodernism and everyone can worship God the way they want. This is a return to the worship of idols. You know how? Because if everyone creates their own God and they worship Him, they make their own God. Not the God that we read about or we know about in the Bible, but everyone makes his or her own God and they worship Him. This is idol worship. I'm making my own God. But God is the one who reveals Himself to me, not I that make my own God and worship Him. You are the light of the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men, because this is your responsibility. Noah was a light in his generation. Imagine the whole world was away from God, except Noah, his wife, his three children, and their three wives. 8 people. And God chose them and renewed the face of the earth with those 8 individuals. The light of the world. Abraham was the only one. God chose him, said to him, come out of your people, I will make you a great nation. Only Abraham, he was the light of the world. Lot, what about Joseph? Joseph, who was persecuted even by his brothers, was sold in Egypt, served in Potiphar's castle, and then was put in the prison because he wanted to be light in the world and resist evil. It is okay. I will obey God even if I have to obey Him alone. This is what His Holiness Pope Shenouda wrote in the poem. سَأُطِيعُ اللَّهَ حَتَّى لَوْ أَطَعْتُ اللَّهَ وَحْدِي. Even if I'm going to be the last one in this whole world to be light of the world, I will remain light of the world. Elijah and Daniel and the 3 young men sent Athanasius. The whole world is against you, Athanasius, and I am against the world. Because I am with the truth. I have to witness to the truth. Even if they exile me 4 or 5 times for a total of about 20 years away from my throne as a pope, it is okay. But I have to be the light of the world. If it was not for Athanasius, the whole world would have become Arians today. For you shall be as conspicuous to all as a city set on the ridge of a hill, as a candle in the house of on a candlestick giving light. But here he seems to be training them to boldness of speech. For as that city can by no means be hidden, so it was impossible that what they preached should sink into silence and obscurity. Finally, he said, let your light so shine before men, not so that we are praised. Do not let your light shine so that the people will praise you, but so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. So St. John Chrysostom says, what then? Do you command us to live for display and vainglory? Far from it. I say not this, for I do not say, give ye diligence to bring forward your own good deeds. Neither did I say, show them, but let your light shine. خلي اللايت طبيعي. naturally. That is, let your virtue be great and the fire abundant and the light unspeakable. For when virtue is so great, it cannot lie hid, though its pursuer shade it over 10,000 fold. So you cannot hide it if it is there. If you are the light, then your light will automatically, naturally shine. You're not doing something, you're not putting any extra effort to show that light. It will come naturally. He immediately adds the reason why this should be done, that they may give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This means that even though one is seen by others in doing good works, in one's conscience one ought to have the simple intention of glorifying God. It is only for the sake of God's glory that we should allow our good works to become known. كلمة حلوة يا سنت أوغستين. يعني فقط علشان مجد ربنا بنخلي أعمالنا الصالحة تكون معروفة لدى الناس، مش عشان يمدحوني أنا. I think this is enough for today. Thank you. Glory be to God forever. Amen.